We need to know where the stockpiles are, what the status is of masks and gloves. There's a lot of information that needs to be transmitted. It can't wait to the last minute.
A troubled transition amid a pandemic. It's Tuesday, November 17th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, critical congressional races that will help define U.S. politics, shifting social media freedoms, Asia commerce confronts COVID, speaking the language, and you can own masterpiece art. It's all on today's VOA Asia. As coronavirus cases rise in the United States, the transition team for former Vice President Joe Biden, the projected winner of the 2020 presidential race, is asking the Trump administration to begin the transition process this week to help the country. Michelle Quinn tells us more.
Wherever you look in the U.S., the coronavirus pandemic is surging. But the virus responsible for the COVID-19 disease is caught up in a political drama. Whether President Donald Trump will allow cooperation between his administration and the team for Joe Biden, the projected winner of the 2020 presidential race, who would be inaugurated on January 20th. So far, Trump, who continues to allege without evidence that there was widespread voter fraud, has not allowed a transition to a new government to begin. Biden team members say that is endangering the country amid the pandemic's surge.
It is in the nation's interest that the transition team get the threat assessments that the team knows about, understand the vaccine distribution plans. We need to know where the stockpiles are, what the status is of masks and gloves. There's a lot of information that needs to be transmitted. It can't wait to the last minute.
President Trump hasn't attended a virus task force meeting in 5 months, according to the Washington Post. But the president spoke last week about the timeline of a vaccine for the COVID-19 disease.
And this process is starting right away. Millions of doses will soon be going out the door. They're all ready, waiting for that final approval.
Admiral Brett Giroir, member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, says that the Trump administration's efforts to combat the infection are shared widely with the public, including members of Biden's team.
I want to be as transparent as possible with everybody. This is not a political issue. This is an issue of public health and saving American lives. And I think there's nothing more important than that.
John Bolton, a former Trump national security advisor, called on Republican leaders to push the White House to share information about the virus and national security with the incoming Biden administration.
And again, I just think it requires Republicans to explain that in the nature of things, we need a transition and we should proceed with it as soon as we can.
According to the Johns Hopkins University, the U.S. currently has nearly 11 million confirmed cases of COVID-19 and close to 246,000 deaths. The U.S. leads the world in the number of cases. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
Meanwhile, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is on the road again, but as he speaks with foreign leaders, his refusal to recognize Joe Biden's victory has raised eyebrows, as VOA's diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain reports.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is traveling on what is likely to be one of his final tours as the chief U.S. diplomat, heading to France, Turkey, Georgia, Israel, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia. The trip comes just days after this exchange in the State Department briefing room about Joe Biden being projected as president-elect last Saturday.
Is the State Department currently preparing to engage with the Biden transition team? And if not, at what point does a delay hamper a smooth transition?
There will be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration. All right, we're ready. The world is watching what's taking place here. We're going to count all the votes. When the process is complete, there'll be electors selected. There's a process. The Constitution lays it out pretty clearly.
Biden chuckled when he was asked about Pompeo's comments.
Secretary of State Pompeo.
Biden dismissed concerns that President Donald Trump has refused to concede and said he has held congratulatory talks with a number of allied leaders across the world, including the leaders of France, Germany, Australia, and South Korea.
Well, first of all, I'm letting them know that America's back. We're going to be back in the game. It's not American alone.
Another of the leaders Biden spoke with is British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, a close ally of Trump, who was asked if he had any advice for his friend who is refusing to concede.
Prime Minister.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I had and have a good relationship with the previous president. I do not resile from that. It is the duty of all British prime ministers to have a good relationship with the White House.
Experts say some in the diplomatic community are perplexed by Pompeo's refusal to acknowledge the election results and start the transition process, and that this trip abroad will not be a victory lap for him.
I think Secretary Pompeo will have somewhat of a lame duck status himself. Most countries and diplomats I've been talking with, they're more interested in talking to the incoming team and not the one that's outgoing.
Biden has pledged to rejoin the Paris Climate Change Accord and the Iran nuclear deal, among other expected major shifts. Cindy Sain, VOA News, Washington.
You can find out much more on the presidential transition process and all of the stories that you hear on today's program at our website, voanews.com. You can also follow us on our Twitter stream at VOA Asia, and we're also on Facebook. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Why China and a bloc of nations led by Vietnam just met but ignored Asia's biggest maritime dispute. Aung San Suu Kyi, NLD, wins second landslide election in Myanmar. Pakistan's capital under virtual lockdown over anti-France protest. Huge India oil well fire extinguished after 5 months. India and Afghanistan reject terror-related charges by Pakistan. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and much more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia. Also stop by the voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We continue with VOA Asia. The balance of power in the U.S. Congress will come down to just two Senate races in one southern state, Georgia. As VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports, those two Senate seats will determine if there is a divided government during President-elect Joe Biden's first term.
Election 2020 isn't over yet.
Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, you're not going to take Georgia. It's ours.
Two Georgia Senate races yielded no absolute majority winners on November 3rd, so voters will head to the polls again in January runoff elections. Democrats Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff trying to unseat Republicans Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue.
These incumbent Republican senators just felt entitled to an easy dance back to victory.
So far, Republicans have won 50 seats in the next U.S. Senate. Democrats have won 46 seats, along with two independents who generally vote with the party.
The two special elections in Georgia mean that if Democrats are able to win both of those two seats, it would be a 50-50 tie. And our Constitution stipulates that the vice president presides over the Senate.
Meaning Vice President Kamala Harris would then be the tie-breaking vote in the Senate, providing a narrow path for President-elect Joe Biden's legislative agenda.
Obviously, it'd be much better if we had a tie in the Senate, which means that this vice president become incredibly important beyond what she already is.
But if Republicans win one or both seats, the outlook for Biden's presidency changes significantly.
Having a United States Senate controlled by the Republicans and especially Mitch McConnell, that would put a damper on his ambitions to put into place that progressive agenda that he had campaigned on. So it would likely mean less legislation coming out in general, and definitely not as progressive as he would have liked.
Georgia has traditionally been a Republican stronghold, but that's changing partly because of the get-out-the-vote efforts of Democratic organizer Stacey Abrams.
Georgia has had potential for years. We've had investment for a much shorter period.
Ossoff and Warnock both represent the state's changing demographics, younger and more diverse. While Loeffler and Perdue will be encouraging President Trump's loyal base to get out the vote.
Because of the national implications of the Georgia runoffs, both sides, I think, are going to show up. And we're already seeing a significant amount of investment and effort.
Early voting in Georgia begins in mid-December ahead of the runoff election day on January 5th, 2021. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, at least 67 people are dead, 12 others missing after Vamco, the 21st and deadliest typhoon to hit the Philippines this year, struck Manila and other provinces with strong winds and torrential rain. Many areas remain submerged. The storm later made landfall in Vietnam, causing injuries and damage there. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's nice to have you with us today on VOA Asia. With Twitter and Facebook blocking and labeling more social media posts, some American conservatives are now flocking to alternatives like Parler, which says it will not censor speech. Matt Dibble has the freedom to speak to us about it.
It's a frustrating time for many Americans wanting to share thoughts online about the recent election. Twitter and Facebook have slapped warnings on some messages, and in a few cases, blocked postings that make false claims about the election process and the results. Now they are finding other places to go online. One of them is Parler, which promises it won't censor anything. It is now the most downloaded app on the Apple iTunes Store, and popular with supporters of President Donald Trump.
We have gained well over 4 million new accounts in the last several days, maybe 5. I'm losing track.
The rise of Parler comes with Americans divided over whether they want social media firms to do more to keep their sites free from misinformation and calls for violence, or should the internet be a place for all speech. Enter Parler, from the French word parler, to speak. Prominent conservatives have flocked to the Nevada-based platform, and some are calling for people to leave Twitter and Facebook for Parler.
I think there's a lack of trust. And when they hear that there is somebody out there who says we are an unbiased, neutral, free speech platform, they're willing to at least give it a shot at a certain point.
Much of the conversation on Parler echoes President Donald Trump's unsupported claim that the November 3rd election was stolen by Democrats through massive voter fraud. There are calls for action. Demonstrations are being planned. Sometimes users cross the line. An Arkansas police chief used Parler to urge violence against Democrats he claimed were preventing the re-election of Donald Trump. When the posts appeared in news stories, his public account was removed, and he was forced to resign. While the Parler algorithm does not promote posts to keep users engaged, the company says it is serious about its commitment to free speech and does not block extremist content.
The fact that we don't block out the content from various extremists does not mean that our goal is to further all of those views, right? What we are planning to do is give the widest freedom possible so that people can have a full discussion.
That is not much different from the founding missions of Facebook and Twitter. But the major internet firms, criticized for keeping people engaged by suggesting content that is more extreme, have increasingly taken steps to curtail the spread of misinformation. And then came Parler.
It potentially suggests that if platforms do try and steer people away from these echo chambers, steer people away from what they want, that people will just migrate elsewhere, right? It's a reminder that as powerful as these platforms are, and as overwhelmingly popular as they are, it is not a monopoly.
It's too soon to know whether Parler will have lasting appeal. But for now, as the U.S. grapples with the results of the 2020 election, Parler has carved out a unique digital hangout. Matt Dibble for VOA News, San Francisco.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia, International Olympic Committee Chief Thomas Bach says he's very, very confident that spectators can attend next year's postponed games after meeting with Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga. Bach is visiting Japan for meetings with games organizers to discuss countermeasures against the coronavirus. All the big stories are on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. The economic impact from COVID-19 has led to the shutdown of companies around the globe. But as Dave Grunebaum reports, one small business in Malaysia has found a way to go from bust to boom.
At home with his family, Sri Themadu packages gift baskets his customers have ordered for the Indian festival Deepavali. Savoring sweet treats from crackers to coconut candy. They're all made from scratch in his mother's home and in the kitchens of several friends. For 8 years, Sri's seasonal business has catered to Malaysian families and local companies who buy the gift baskets for employees and clients.
So I go to the corporate companies, show some samples, and also let them taste the food before they purchase. But this year, I could not do that due to the pandemic.
And sales dropped dramatically due to the slumping economy. So he took a chance and invested almost $1,000 to hire a professional photographer and videographer to improve the look of his website and promote his suites on Instagram. Business not only turned around, but he now has three times as much revenue as his previous best year.
The main reason why I did professional videography and photography is because people cannot touch, feel the product, but they want to see the best visuals in order for them to feel they're buying the right product for their clients or their staff.
It's a success story at a time when many businesses are struggling in the current economic climate.
It all boils down to the mindset of business owners.
Yohindra Nader Arultavan, a researcher at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, says business owners must adapt to changing times.
If they're willing to make the changes that are needed to stay relevant to the demands that consumers have currently, then you'll survive.
So I think when there is a problem, so you need to find a solution. So same goes here. So when the climate has changed, the business climate has changed, so we really need to tap on and look for the other options how we can perform better. So that is what actually we did.
As one path to customers closed, Sri found a new one. And that's why for him, business this year is as sweet as his treats. Dave Grunebaum for VOA News, Cyberjaya, Malaysia.
Coronavirus questions. Can the virus be spread by mosquito bites? Is there a vaccine or medication that prevents it? Is there any medicine that cures it? The answer to all of the questions is no. The best steps to take: wash your hands, cover your cough, stay at home if you are sick or advised to by local authorities.
Now on VOA Asia, a new project is celebrating the linguistic culture of Australia's Aboriginal communities. The 50 Words Project aims to introduce Australians to everyday words and phrases from hundreds of Indigenous languages. Some are spoken by just a handful of people, while others have been revitalized by communities and academics. We hear more from Phil Mercer in Sydney.
The word for welcome varies across Australia's Indigenous language landscape. Hello comes in many different forms as well.
Kai.
Yeah.
So does where are you going?
Want galwa.
The 50 Words Project is an interactive online language map. Words and phrases from across this vast continent are brought to life with recordings from Indigenous speakers. It's run by the University of Melbourne's Research Unit for Indigenous Language and aims to maintain linguistic and cultural heritage. Jill Vaughan from the academic unit says she hopes it will help more Australians understand rich linguistic traditions.
It's unfortunately quite a common misconception that there's only one Indigenous Australian language, when in fact there are hundreds of languages, each with thousands and thousands of words. It's also the case that for some Australians, they assume that Indigenous languages are just a relic of the past, and this isn't the case at all.
Researchers say the sounds used in Australia's Indigenous languages are very similar across the country. Neighbouring communities, however, can have very different words for the same things. Some Indigenous languages in Australia have faded away since European colonisation, while others are considered to be critically endangered. Until the 1970s, government policies banned and discouraged Aboriginal people from speaking their mother tongues. Indigenous communities consider languages to be living things that connect people to their land, culture, and the spirits of their ancestors. Aboriginal history in Australia dates back up to 65,000 years. Indigenous people make up about 3% of the national population of 25 million. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Anyone can now own a small share of a great masterpiece. Vladimir Lensky has this story narrated by Anna Rice.
Investing in art is something beyond what many people can afford. But that may no longer be the case thanks to New York startup called Masterworks.
Very simply, investors can come to our website. They can view different works of art that we have available for investment. And they can invest amounts as small as $500 or as large as thousands of dollars in a particular painting.
Scott Lynn, a collector who in 2017 founded the startup called Masterworks, says the concept of fractional ownership gives people lots of opportunities that used to only be available to the super rich. It's part of a new trend on the market called the democratization of luxury. But Lynn says part of his job is to look out for investors without that much money.
For example, many people use IRA or retirement accounts to invest in these paintings. So we want to make sure that the returns are as predictable as possible and the risk is reasonable.
When a masterpiece is sold at an auction to a collector, it usually disappears from the public sight. But in case of fractional ownership, the art piece continues its journey from one museum to another.
We like the idea of once we purchase these paintings and then sell them off to investors to re-loan them out to museums so they can be seen in the public.
The coronavirus-inspired quarantine has amplified the investors' appetite for art. Since the pandemic hit the U.S. in mid-March, Masterworks has been attracting over 10,000 new investors a month. All in all, people have invested over $30 million in 15 world masterpieces. In the last 2 years, only 5 works of art have been purchased.
At Masterworks, our perspective has been that art is an uncorrelated asset class, meaning that it doesn't necessarily go in the same direction as the stock market or other asset classes. So what we've seen with COVID is that although there's been a large decrease in the total volume of sales by roughly half, we've actually seen art prices increase. And I think in June alone, we saw 22 artists that set price records.
Oil and gold prices, as well as company shares, are prone to ups and downs depending on the situation in the world and changing politics. But even the Dow Jones Index is powerless when it comes to world masterpieces. For Vladimir Lensky in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
That's all the time we have for our program today. We thank you for joining us on VOA Asia. Continue online. You'll find us on Twitter at VOA Asia, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And of course, we invite you to always stop by our website. That's voanews.com. We thank those who help bring you this program each day. Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day ahead. Be safe. Be well.